12, we'll be looking at verses 1 to 24, almost the entire chapter. As you're turning there, I just want to draw your attention to one thing, and it's something that'll come up and be important for us to remember later, but it's something Dr. York pointed out to me, and once he did, it was like a paradigm shift in reading the book of Acts. If you think back to Acts chapter 1, verse 1, Luke tells Theophilus that in his gospel, he wrote to him about those things which Jesus began to do and to teach. So what's that mean the book of Acts is? Well, most ultimately, the book of Acts then is those things which Jesus Christ had continued to do. So behind every event that we read about in the book of Acts, behind every word stands the sovereign Lord of history, Jesus Christ. And so be mindful of that then as we hear the word of the Lord. So give your attention to it. This word is truth, and so hear it as such. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 24. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise, quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and said, "Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." And then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about patterns. And before that sounds too boring to you and you check out on me, stay with me for a few. I'll give you a simple definition of what we mean by pattern. And most simply, a pattern is something that happens in a regular or repeated way, or a regular and repeated way in which somebody does something. And because they're regular and they're repeated, patterns are noticeable. And in our passage tonight, in Acts chapter 12, we're going to notice a pattern. And it's a pattern I want to call the 3D pattern. It's the pattern of death, deliverance, and destiny. Death, deliverance, and destiny. And when we come to our passage, in verses 1 through 6, we'll see death. And then in verses 7 to 17, we'll see deliverance. And in verses 18 to 24, we'll see destiny. And another important thing to remember about patterns, specifically in the Bible, is as we see history moving along this 3D pattern, is that patterns are never in the Bible just merely cyclical. They never just merely repeat. But biblical patterns are more like a spiral. And so because they're more like a spiral, every time we see the pattern, we're reminded that they're ultimately moving toward an ultimate destiny point. And so we're reminded of the hope that we have as history moves toward its end. And so in this season of thankfulness, if you will, tonight, just the simple call of the passage as we reflect on this pattern is going to be thankful for the pattern, but more importantly, be thankful to the Lord of the pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now, before we actually do start into Acts chapter 12, I want you to think back with me to the Exodus event. I'm not going to have you turn back to the book of Exodus because we're going to kind of skip along some passages. But we're taking you back there, and I want to take you back there. It's going to take a few minutes to highlight some things. And everything I'm going to highlight, I want you to note, because there are going to be connections we're going to see in our passage here in Acts chapter 12. And so what we'll see as we go back and find the Old Testament roots of this 3D pattern is that this pattern is not something we're imposing on the text. But in fact, when we come to it, we're going to see that this pattern is what the Lord wants us to see in Acts chapter 12. And so think back with me to the Exodus event. And first, I want to note a couple things about Pharaoh. And Old Testament scholars and archaeologists will note from finding some ancient Egyptian texts that Pharaoh was often described, or his power over his enemies was described as Pharaoh having a strong hand. His power over his enemies was seen in the strength of his hand, and he was often described as one who would conquer or who would destroy his enemies by stretching forth his hand. And then one other thing to note is that Pharaoh was seen by himself and by his people as divine. He thought of himself as a god and not as a man. And so when we come to our pattern, we think of Exodus chapter 1. And what do we see in Exodus chapter 1? You'll be familiar with it. And it says that Pharaoh stretches forth his hand and he brings death to the people of God. He commands the slaughter of what he saw as his enemies, the destruction of a multitude of male Israelite babies. And then what else does he do? He sets taskmasters over God's people, and he brings them into deeper and deeper bondage. And so what Egypt, what had been in the days of Jacob and Joseph, even as a house of refuge for Israel, had become the house of bondage. And Pharaoh had brought death and bondage upon the people of God. And so we move, you see, the first part of our pattern, death. But then we move from death to deliverance, and on the eve of their deliverance, God institutes the Passover. He institutes the Passover. And as Israel is commanded to eat it in Exodus chapter 12, they're commanded to eat it quickly, to be in haste. And what are the words he says to them? He says to gird yourself and put on your sandals, for your exodus, for your deliverance is at hand. And then later in Exodus chapter 13 we read that into the darkness Israel's commanded to rise. Into the house of bondage they're commanded to rise from the darkness, to rise from the house of bondage and to go out. To go out. And then we read later in Exodus 13:21, who were they led out by? They were led out by the angel of the Lord, who was as to them as a pillar of fire by night. The angel of the Lord came to them as a light in the night. And so you see, into the house of bondage, into the darkness, into the prison that was the land of Egypt, shone a light, and the angel of the Lord led out the people of God. And then so as they go out from the land, as they're led out from the house of bondage, they come eventually to the Red Sea. And so for a moment it seems as if their deliverance may come to an end. It seems as if Pharaoh may catch up to them and destroy them, and that their deliverance will fail. But what happens to the Red Sea? Well, right as they come up to it, the sea is opened before them and they cross on dry land. The sea opens before them and they cross on dry land. And so we see the movement from death and bondage to deliverance. And then we move to destiny. What happens after the Israelites cross through the sea? Well, God commands Moses to stretch forth his hand and he brings the waters crashing in on Pharaoh. He strikes down Pharaoh. And we're reminded of what the waters crashing in echoes back to the flood. And what did the flood point forward to? Well, 2 Peter 3 tells us that the flood waters ultimately point forward to the flood by fire, to final judgment. So in the record of how God judges and how he strikes down Pharaoh, we see we're being pointed forward to the ultimate destiny of all those who would exalt themselves against Christ. God strikes down Pharaoh, and then by the power of his word, God's people go on. They continue to eventually inherit the promised land. And so we see the completion of the pattern. We see the 3D pattern back in Exodus. We move from death to deliverance and then to destiny. And behind the pattern, we see the Lord of the pattern. For in Exodus 9, verse 16, it said that the Lord himself is the one who raised Pharaoh up. Pharaoh was only allowed to do the things he was because the Lord had raised him up. In Exodus 3 and Exodus 7, we read that Israel was delivered not by Moses ultimately, not by Moses stretching forth his hand, but the Lord says, I will stretch forth my hand and bring my people out. And in the same way, when Moses stretches forth his hand in judgment, we know it was ultimately the Lord's hand that struck down Pharaoh. And it was the Lord who caused his people to continue on. So as we come to our text with those thoughts in mind of the roots of that 3D pattern, what do we see? Well, in Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. That was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison. So what do we see? We see Herod now stretching forth his hand. Herod stretches forth his hand and he brings death and bondage upon the people of God. And what else is going on? It's the time of the Passover. It's the time of the Passover. And so you see the irony in all of this. As we see the first part of our pattern, we see Herod bringing death and bondage on the people of God, setting watchmen over the Apostle Peter, locking him up in prison, is that Herod is being likened to Pharaoh. And Israel is now like Egypt. Israel has become the house of bondage. So in the beginning of our passage, we see death. And then we move from death to deliverance in verses 7 to 17. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, And a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did, and he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him. So what do we see again here? It was the time of the Passover. And on the eve of Peter's deliverance, what's he told? He's told to be ready. To be ready to gird yourself and to put on your sandals, just as the Israelites were told as the eve of their deliverance had come. And then what happens? Well, into the darkness of the house of bondage, into the prison shines a light. And an angel of the Lord comes and brings Peter out from the house of bondage, out from the darkness. And then what happens is they're going out as Peter's being led out. They go past the first and the second guard posts. And then what happens? He comes to an iron gate. And just as it seems as if Peter's deliverance is going to be ruined, what happens? The gate opens of its own accord. In the Greek, it opens automate. It opens automatically. And so, kids, you've experienced what Peter experiences here. Every time you go to the grocery store with your parents, you're walking up to the door, and it opens of its own accord. This is what happened for Peter. Just as the Red Sea had been opened by the Lord, the door, the iron gate, opens before Peter. And he passes through on the other side. If you haven't been convinced yet that we're seeing Peter's exodus, I want you to listen to me with the words of Exodus 18. Exodus 18, verse 10. These are the words of Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, right after the Exodus. Here's what he says to Moses. Exodus 18, 10. And Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." What does Peter say right after his deliverance? Verse 11, what's he say? And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." The language is almost identical. It's as if Peter, as soon as he comes to and realizes what's happened, makes all the connections that we just heard, and he glorifies God who had just delivered him as he had delivered Israel in the past. You see, Peter's exodus had been completed, but his deliverance, the scene of his deliverance, isn't over at this point. We kind of get this post-deliverance appearance of Peter. And what's he do? He goes to his disciples, or he goes to a group of disciples right after his deliverance, and he goes to them and he tells them about his deliverance. He's knocking at the door. How do they respond? They respond to post-deliverance Peter with joy and with gladness. They're astonished. They're amazed. It's as if in the moment they're willing to believe anything other than the fact that God had answered their prayers. They're willing to believe anything other than that. So they're slow to believe. They're astonished, they're amazed, they're filled with joy and gladness, but they're slow to believe. But once they finally let Peter in, he declares to them this great deliverance. And then he commissions them to go. Go and tell others. Go and tell James and the brethren about this deliverance. And then what happens? He departs. And he goes to another place. He departs and he goes to another place. And so we see the movement from death to deliverance. And then what of destiny? Death, deliverance to destiny. Well, look with me at verses 21 and verses 22. Verses 21 and 22. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." And it's interesting, Josephus, the Jewish historian, records this very account. And he describes Herod this robe that he had on was lined with silver. And so you can just imagine Herod in all his pomp and arrogance standing up before the people to deliver this oration, and the sun hitting this robe, and Herod standing here sparkling and glowing, if you will, before these people. And they cry out, "The voice of a God and not of a man." They were claiming Herod was divine. And Herod had no problems with it, because he thought of himself in the same way. Herod, just like Pharaoh, thought of himself as a god and not as a man. In verses 23 and 24, "Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied." And so we see that, like Pharaoh, Herod, the new Pharaoh, is struck down because he had exalted himself against Christ. And then what happens? By the power of the word, God's purposes, God's people continue on and multiply. And so we see the completion of the pattern that we saw the roots of in Exodus, death, deliverance to destiny. We see it completed here, but just like in the Exodus event, we're to look to the Lord of the pattern. And we see the Lord of the pattern in a few ways in Acts chapter 12. And one of them is why I wanted to remind you of Acts 1, verse 1 at the beginning. That these are ultimately the works of Christ, the acts of the risen Christ. And so just like with Pharaoh, we've got to understand that it was the Lord Jesus Christ who had raised Herod up. Herod could have had no power except it had been given him from above. He was serving Christ's purposes. And then look with me at verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5. We'll see the hand of Christ here. "So when he had arrested him," that is, when Herod had arrested Peter, "he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover." So you see, Herod had set watchmen. Herod had set watchmen over Peter. Listen to the words of Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest, till he establishes Jerusalem, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." I'll submit that the watchmen here in Isaiah 62 are the saints in prayer. And they're to give no rest to the Lord until he brings about the pattern, until he brings about the deliverance of Jerusalem. And so you see the irony as Herod set his watchmen. What do we see in verse 5? "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." Little did Herod know that Christ had set his watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, and they were giving no rest to the Lord of the pattern. And then in verse 11, Peter acknowledges it was not the angel of the Lord that had delivered him, but ultimately, just like in the Exodus, ultimately the deliverance is attributed to the Lord himself. And then what of this Herod being eaten by worms? What of this Herod being eaten by worms? Well, think back to Mark chapter 9, verses 44 and following. Speaking of hell, what does Jesus say about hell? "It is a place where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched." So just like the judgment of Pharaoh pointed toward the final judgment of the ungodly, so this judgment of Herod, the new Pharaoh, points forward as well to the final judgment. And then we see, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." And we're pointed to the end point in that as well, which is a new heavens and a new earth. Now these two instances then of this 3D pattern, back in Exodus and then here in the early church, we've got to recognize are merely, we could say, lowercase p 3D patterns, to steal Pastor Hansen's way of speaking of these things. Lowercase p patterns. And they're lowercase p patterns because they're modeled after, they're patterned after the original pattern. The early church pattern, the early church deliverance of death, deliverance, and destiny is merely patterned after the pattern of Christ Himself. The death and the deliverance and the destiny of the Son of God. And it was this 3D pattern, this death, deliverance, and destiny of the Son of God that was the eternally determined pattern by which God would save His people and by which He would glorify Himself. And it was the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the pattern, who in the fullness of time came into history to fulfill the pattern. And He was put to death for the sins of His people. And then He lay in bondage to death in the tomb for 3 days. And then to the darkness of the tomb and to the darkness of that house of bondage, the One who is the light shone forth, and He was raised, and He got up, and He went out from the tomb. And as He was going out, what does He come to? Not the sea, not a gate, but to the stone, and the stone rolls back, and He passes through, and He goes to His disciples. And how do they respond? They respond with joy and gladness and amazement and astonishment. And yet they're slow to believe. And then He declares to them this great deliverance, and then He commissions them not to merely go tell James and the brethren, but to go and tell the whole world. And then He departs, and He goes to another place. But it was no place on earth, but it was to the right hand of the Father. It was to heaven. And so you see that He was walking Peter through His footsteps. We see the work of Christ in conforming His people to His image, bringing them through His own steps. And it's this Christ who is now seated and reigning in heaven that continues to work this 3D pattern, death, deliverance, and destiny. So the question for you tonight would be, where are you in this pattern? Have you been delivered from death? Or are you still dead in your sins? And if you are, you must cry out to the Lord of the pattern. It's He and He alone that brings deliverance. And if you have, you're to have hope in the pattern. You're to look to the Lord of the pattern. You're to look to the destiny point, that new heavens and that new earth. So this is reason to rejoice. Because if you've been delivered, you've been delivered from the greater Herod, from Satan himself, from the world, from the sin, the flesh, and the devil. And in this, we can be thankful. So always remember the pattern. Be thankful for the pattern. But more importantly, look to the Lord of the pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your consistency, for Your promises, for Your work. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Him who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And Lord, how we long for that day in which You will wipe away every tear and bring all things to completion. Pray that You would comfort us until that day. Give us peace, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.